We're back with another episode.
This episode of the Face Off with Fleming and Fowler is sponsored by MyApothecary.com. MyApothecary is the premier online destination for hemp-derived CBD that will help you curate a wealthy lifestyle. The views, thoughts, and opinions expressed during the Face Off with Fleming and Fowler podcast series are solely those of the individuals involved and do not necessarily represent any specific employer, organization, committee, or other group or individual. The primary purpose of this podcast series is to educate and inform. This podcast series does not constitute medical or other professional advice or services. It's the Face Off with Fleming and Fowler. It's the Face Off. Welcome back, ladies, to what?
Just ladies. What's up, ladies?
Welcome back to another episode of the Face Off with Fleming and Fowler. Fowler is back.
Woo! For all my ladies,
Fowler's back.
I'm back.
Back, never left. Back in the town.
We're gonna take it back. Back
in the town.
What's up?
Back.
You miss me?
No.
Okay.
Not at all. It was very peaceful without you.
No, it wasn't. It was lame.
I think our supporters missed you.
I know, but y'all did. Actually, no. I got multiple comments to me that were like, "Mom, Monty's so funny. Did you see what she posted without you?" I listened to the episode and I was like, "I'm not in it."
I didn't even think the episode was even funny. I was just like, "This fucking episode is probably
our worst
one." I got
multiple like DMs and comments. People at work telling me like, "Really? Oh, did you see the episode this morning?" I was like, "No, because I'm not in it."
I thought it was a lame episode. I thought I took way too fast because when I was editing it, I was like, wow, this is probably the easiest episode I've ever edited.
You do talk fast.
Yeah, I do talk
but
fast.
But I talk slow because I don't pay attention to
it. Yeah, you do. You talk very. That's why when I'm editing, I'm just like, oh my God, get your point out. But
I cannot do it. Yeah, I'm back better than
black.
Ever.
How do you.
Fowler's black. Breaking news, everyone.
Oh my God, I never knew. Anyway.
Surprise, surprise.
So what's going on, Fowler? You're back.
I'm back.
How have you been? How do you feel now?
Listen, let's take a trip down memory lane.
Okay.
Remember that time that I was like, I will get every COVID vaccination you can throw at me if it means I can travel, if it means I can thot and bop.
Absolutely.
Which I did. I stuck to that. I got dose number one, dose number two, and a boosty. Okay. Mm-hmm. Remember during my booster.
Yeah.
They were like, do you want the pneumonia shot? And I was like, I'm 27
You're
years old.
You're not 65.
I'm not 65. I refuse. They said, do you want the flu shot? And I said, flu who?
The flu ain't fluent.
Uh-uh. Never heard of her. Remember, that's a 2018 issue.
Not a 2022.
And not a 2022, honey. All right. We're on bigger and better things. No one's getting the flu. Whose ass got the fucking flu? Mine.
<did.
laughs> Bop. It got me. Bing bong. It came in hot. I
Bonk
was
your light.
Sick. And I, so truly. So I went to Colorado. We went to Breck for Christmas and New Year's. And I was like, y'all, we're getting COVID. There's no way we're not getting COVID, dude. Yeah. We're out here. We're living life.
In the snow.
In the snow. We're going to get sick. No one got COVID. Like, God bless.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And, but I felt, so my allergies were bad, but also the altitude makes you kind of sick and dry and just like mucus.
And you can't breathe either.
You can't breathe. Yeah. My asthma was shit. Mm-hmm. So, I had kind of felt sick.
Yeah.
But nothing crazy. I got tested right when I came back. It was negative, but I sounded awful. That kind of wore off the next week. I was getting ready to go out. It was like Friday night. I was putting my makeup on. I was waiting. I sat on my bed because I was going to call my friend and be like, hey, I'm ready to go. And it felt like I had been standing for 48 hours.
So you had no Megan knees.
No, my kneecaps felt like they had been, like, you know, in crime movies and stuff when they pop your kneecap. Yeah. That's what it felt like. And
like
I was like,
Samuel
this ain't
Jackson.
Right. Yes. I was like, this ain't right. This ain't right. And then progressively, my body started aching. My throat sounded awful. It felt like I had swallowed glass. And I was like, is this strep or COVID? Yeah. It's got to be strep or COVID.
Right.
I don't know what it is. So I went to the urgent care. First of all, the first time I tried to get COVID tested, it took me 48 hours to get a COVID test.
Yeah, that was when.
To get the COVID test.
Yeah, that's insane.
So then I had to wake my ass up. I got to the clinic an hour before it opened.
Yeah.
We lined up 30 minutes before it opened. There's already a line forming.
Oh my God.
They opened 30 minutes late. It was raining outside and it was 45 degrees.
No, yeah.
Probably could have gotten pneumonia. That was
here in Texas though.
That was here in Texas.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So I finally get in there and I tell the nurse lady, or no, what are the people called? Med tech? I don't know. Nurses? Vitals people.
Oh, CNAs?
Sure. Told the CNA what was going on. And he was like, yeah, it definitely sounds like you got something. We'll just test you for flu, strep, and COVID. I said, cool. So he does the COVID test up my nose, nothing crazy. Mm-hmm. He does the flu test up my nose, nothing crazy. And he was like, have you ever been tested for strep? And I was like, no. I've never had strep in my entire life. He's like, okay, well, a lot of people have trouble with this test. I have to swab the back of your throat. I'll do one side stop.
Oh, that's the worst.
So
test
then he's
ever.
Because I'm ready for it. I'm mentally prepping. I'm like, my neck is like no man's land. If you touch my neck, I make this horrible gag sound. Oh, it's very embarrassing. So I was mentally preparing myself to just, it was going to happen. Mm-hmm. So he swabs one side of my throat. We breathe through it. It was fine. He swabs the other side. And then he makes all these really creepy. He's like, oh, wow, that's never happened before. You didn't even get. Oh. And then it grossed me the fuck out.
Because he said you didn't get.
Yeah. Kept commenting.
What are you trying to insinuate?
Exactly. Kept commenting on my lack of gag reflex, which was even weirder than just don't say anything.
Yeah.
So fucking weird. So I can never go back to that care now, ever. I refuse. I'm so creeped out.
Just hot dog.
Literally, I was like, I was like, what? It's hard. But really, I was like, okay, just stop commenting on it. It's not like you were fucking sticking it down my esophagus, which is the side of my throat. Anyway, that was my urgent care experience. I had the flu. I'm better now.
Yes, definitely. She left me all by myself last week. So
I did. Colorado was beautiful.
Yeah, you and my cousin were in the same place at the same time.
And there were only six black people there. I don't know how I didn't meet up with her. We should have had a little kiki.
Probably, yeah.
Probably. I hate the snow. So
why? It's so beautiful.
It's so cold.
Oh, that's right. You don't like it.
And you slip and slide. My joints lock up.
Yeah.
But it was good. It was 1 degree when I flew out, back to Texas.
But it probably was no wind, or it probably wasn't windy, so it didn't make it seem as cold, or did it really feel as cold as?
No, because it's not a humid cold; it's a dry cold. So it's just cold. It's not it doesn't crawl into your sleeves and stuff. Yeah. It snowed the entire time.
That's cool.
It was a white Christmas, both racially and geographically.
Yes,
but.
Well, I'm glad you had a good time in Colorado and that you came back safely without COVID. That's a blessing.
Yeah, it was good. Yeah. Flying on Christmas Day was the best decision we could have made. There was no one.
I was going to say, was there no one on your actual flight?
There were people on the flight, but it was no one in the airport.
Yeah.
It was nice.
That's cool.
Highly recommend. But yeah, I'm back like I never left. Cool back beans. At work, back in the COVID unit.
Wow. What a way to say you're healed than to come right back into COVID. What the hell, man?
Truly. Yeah.
No kind of break. That's crazy.
No. What about you? Did you do anything fun without me?
No, my same usual cocoon ways. I stayed in my house. Christmas, I didn't do anything Christmas. I just slept.
Sleep is important.
Yeah. I think I probably sleep too much, but it's never such a thing. Anyway. I just slept and everything for Christmas, and then New Year's, I did not go to church New Year's. Cause of course
you didn't go to, what is it called?
Watch night. Yeah. No, I stayed in the house, and of course my neighbors went super crazy. And here's what I do not like about New Year's, right? Even though we're 18 days into the new year. So the point, or no, not 18. What are we? 15? 16, 8, 16. 16. Anyway, who's counting, right? One thing I do not like is when people do fireworks in your neighborhood and then you wake up the next morning, you got all this shit in your yard. So I am that neighbor who, if you set off fireworks the next morning, I'm literally going to go outside with my broom and I'm going to sweep all of that shit in the road, and wherever the fuck it lands, that's where the fuck it lands. Cause I know I wasn't out there popping nothing. Okay.
Thing of popping each other's assholes.
Exactly. And then my next door neighbor, I don't know if I should say this. Well, nobody knows who he is. Anyway, he has chickens, right? Which I don't mind. Cause I don't hear them. And a rooster. Yeah. I think he's a planet for the apocalypse.
Doesn't cock-a-doodle in the morning?
No, I never hear it.
I think
he has a rooster too. I never hear it.
That rooster's broken then. Yeah. It's definitely supposed to make a noise.
Well, one of the chickens is broken because they keep escaping out of their yard and then coming into my backyard. And so he'll be like, hey, are you home? Can my wife just come in your backyard?
Why
and
get the chicken? Why did the chicken cross the road?
I don't know. I guess he wants to get something in my yard. I don't, there's nothing in my yard but leaves and shit. But yeah, so I think he like he fucked just up my front yard, like my front mulch area. Cause there's like these like gaping areas. Like he's just having a good, I don't know what the fuck this damn chicken is doing. But anyway, so I because I have cameras all around my house, I to hear my neighbor say, you are definitely going into the fucking freezer. I was like, shit. It was so funny. I wish I could like play the videotape without like exposing who he is, but yeah, it was hilarious. He was like, oh, you are definitely going into the fucking freezer, get in here. So yeah, but yeah, so I've been dealing with that exactly because they kept setting off my motion sensor and I was like, what the fuck is outside? Like it's not even that windy, but it was fucking a chicken just kept, you know,
looking around in my damn,
all those chickens.
That's weird.
So yeah, but other than that, my time was good.
Ever had the urge to like set up shop with some chickens?
Yeah, really? I would love to buy land and like put some chickens on the land. My best friend's parents and her grandmother, I think their house is on like 2 acres of land or something like that, but part of their yard they have like a fruits and vegetables, and then they have a chicken coop and all that kind of stuff. So
just like, yeah, it's giving chicken shit.
Well, I'm not gonna clean it, and hell no. I just want to have it there to be able to get the eggs, but I'm not gonna clean it.
But
that
also,
shit.
That grosses me out. Like fresh chicken eggs gross me out.
Why? They're so orange, and that's how you know they're super healthy.
It's not right. That's not right.
The orange?
The orange is not right.
No, the yellow in the store is not right. No, that's how they've been tricking you.
That's right to me.
Yeah, because it's processed.
Exactly.
Because when you see real eggs that come out of chickens for real, they're all different colors. So the fact that you have all white eggs is ridiculous.
I don't need to be so close to that process. Like, oof, no thank you. I don't even like my food being made. I don't like to watch restaurants where you can like see them making your food. I don't need to see all that. Just bring it out.
What?
I don't like that.
No, I need to see everything you're doing, making sure you're not putting no boogers on my food.
No, I would like because in my mind, the film I'm playing, everything's super clean and kosher and I don't have to worry about it. But if I start watching it and looking for things.
No, I totally get that.
It's going to come up.
Because I've seen that at, what's this, the place here in town? I went there one time. Shout out to Satin. She took me there and I will never
go
there again.
You have fun friend names.
I do. What is it called? Is it Chewy's?
Yeah, where they did the tortillas?
No, not Chewy's. No, it's not that one. It's
Animal Cafe?
No, it's one of the ones where people go like for the let out of the club. Ah, damn it, I can't remember the name of the restaurant. But they have these pizzas and all that kind of stuff.
Pizzas.
Damn it, what is this restaurant called?
Here in San Antonio.
Here in San Antonio.
They have pizzas and you go and you get out of the club.
It's like it was a ghetto spot. They have two locations here in town.
Stiletto.
Let me see. God dang it. I'm going to try to find this thing. Anyway, it was horrible because there was shit on the
Chewy's?
Fucking floor.
I mean, Chachos?
Chachos, yes. That fucking, ew.
Yeah, no, Chachos is trash. Did you go to Chachos and Chalucci's with the playground and shit?
Yes.
Bitch, no. Cannot go there. No.
We went to a movie and then we went there. She was like, oh, this place is really good.
No, it
is
really not. She's like, not your friend. And stuff. She is not your friend.
She is my friend, but I didn't think she realized like how OCD I really am.
That place, if you take a finger and rub it on any surface, you're getting like waxy, like dirt, yes. Grime. It's like where you disgusting. Go to get drunk and you have 6 kids with you, so you let them go play in the playground.
Yes.
Like all these teenagers work there. It hasn't been washed since like 2007.
Yeah. It was like grease traps with hair all on the fucking floor. Like you were sliding everywhere. And she was like,
yes.
They have really good pizza. And I was just like, I don't have the heart to tell you. I don't want to eat this fucking shit. And then when we sat down and we got our pizza, and I was just like, I'm not drinking out of this cup. The cup smelled like somebody had like put mop water
like,
in it.
Oh,
and
it all smells like dishwater.
Yes.
Like ratty dishwater. And then the nachos are just like pot. Like honestly though, there's another location. Like that's where you need to go. You can't go to the one where the kids, oh, there's something wrong
with
it.
Gross.
So there's Chachos and Chalucci's, which is that.
Yeah.
And then there's just a Chachos and it's the nachos are what everyone goes for. Cause it's like,
yeah, that's
piled
what she kept saying.
High with meat and cheese and shit. And it is really good. But that location, no.
It was this. I was just like, I'm never going back to this place.
You've all been
ever
warned.
Again.
No, we don't do Chachos and Chalucci's over here.
No, it was disgusting. I don't know why we even brought that subject up, but
I don't know. Oh,
it was disgusting.
I don't want farm fresh eggs.
Oh, because you don't like to see your stuff cooked. Yeah. Yes. No, that place, I was watching everything and I was like, Monica, stop looking at it because I'm looking at it because you're going to barf. Just don't do it.
Break.
And then it was just so many little kids running. And I'm like, this is 2 o'clock in the morning. Like, why the fuck is this place still open?
Who don't be in shade, dude?
San Antonio.
If you want to party, your kids got to party with you. They got to stay up.
It was disgusting. I will never go to that place again.
No, I don't.
So yeah, it was gross.
That is a throwback. I haven't been there in so long.
Yeah,
and they have like the ice cream stand, so you could go get ice cream.
Yes, and when I went over there, and I was just like, this is gross.
Nothing in that place has been washed.
No, they haven't cleaned anything. Not even the damn door. It just looked. Oh, I was like, damn, South Florida is way better than this. What the fuck? That's the first time I ever felt unsafe in San Antonio. Yep. And I was like, what is this place? Mm-hmm. It was a portal of hell. It was disgusting. But anyway, needless to say, my weeks have been pretty good.
Good. I'm glad.
Martin Luther the King is tomorrow.
Literally every year on this day, I'm pissed off. Let me tell you why. Martin
Luther the King.
Luther the King Jr.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful man.
Yeah.
So attractive. Great. He gets my vote. A speaker, a mover of people. Come on. Are you kidding?
Only if he had a chance to live to be able to run for president.
I know. Yeah. Oh my God. Can you imagine?
Yes. They would never vote for him.
They wouldn't. But
no.
I mean, this was his dream.
Could you imagine if he was like the president and then like Malcolm X was vice president?
Yo, they'd never get anything done.
No, they would get a lot done.
Or would they? They'd be dead.
Well, that's very true. In their time. Yeah.
Like I was Martin's dream. You know what I mean?
You specifically?
Mixed girl, master's degree. Podcast.
Definitely don't think that
I'm here spewing the word.
I could have swore he said something about all races
all
being
black
equal.
Girls and white boys would stand hand in hand.
Black girls specifically and white boys? Oh, okay. Awesome.
Well, slave vibes.
Okay.
Anyway, all that to say, I never have MLK Day off, and it's honestly the worst.
Oh, I take it off every year faithfully. I always take off Martin Luther the King and Juneteenth. I always take those 2 days off.
Like I should be allowed to sit at home, wake up late, stream the speech while I'm drinking my coffee and reflect on the fact that I'm not a slave to the game as I once could have been. I hate you. I just, black people should have this day off.
They should. And whether you work at a federal facility or not, or whether you're a federal employee or not, you should have it off.
I like one drop rule. One drop of black, you get to stay home today.
Have you ever gone to like a MLK parade?
Yeah, because San Antonio is one of the largest MLK marches in the nation. Thank you very much.
Are you serious?
Fuck yes.
Really?
We marched in that bitch.
I have not gone to an MLK parade since I was probably in high school and we had to actually play in the band. And March, and it was...
I mean, I did go mostly for service hours, but yeah.
Yeah, and then we have to listen to the same speech over and over and over again, and I'm just like...
I want to know. I never understood... I think I read an article once, but San Antonio does have one of the largest MLK marches, and I just never understood.
So are these black people that are marching? Because I feel like I don't see black people here in San Antonio.
It's a large majority of black people, but it's a lot of Hispanic people.
People of color.
Yeah. People look brown.
I was
going
to say, maybe I need to go there. I don't know if they're going to have it, though.
I don't think they're having it this year. But we used to roll deep in that bitch.
Yeah, my aunt used to take we literally used to go all out. We used to have like t-shirts with MLK's face on it.
Wow.
And go out there, and we used to just march in the line, and I'm just like, where are we going? We would walk from, what was the church? I think it was Mount Olive Baptist Church all the way to actually my arch rival high school, Dillard High School. And we would march for that. I don't even know how many miles it was. Who cared? Yeah. But we went down this part of town that was like real ghetto anyway. But it was really fun back in the day. I won't do it now as an adult, but I did it as a kid every year religiously.
When I was in high school, we had to go on this civil rights trip. Probably have talked about it.
Cotton involved?
No, but
okay, good.
We the bus parked and we marched over the Edmund Pettus Bridge where MLK marched.
Serious?
And then they were met at the bottom with hoses and dogs and shit.
Wow.
Yeah. So, and we went to like the church where he pastored and we went to the Civil Rights Museum, all this cool stuff. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that walking on that bridge was rough.
Yeah, I can
imagine.
Especially
when there's only four black people in the whole class on the whole trip. Everyone's like, are you okay?
Yeah. I know. It's like, yeah. It's like my ancestors they have my back.
I'm like,
right,
I wasn't hosed down, but yes, I thank you for checking in. I'm fine.
Yeah. We'll talk about that later on in the show about what I saw that was kind of piggybacking off of Martin Luther King and just that era and civil rights and all that kind of stuff with Mamie Till, who's Emmett Till's mother, and the two docuseries that I'm watching. Like, I always try to. Here's the thing. I like watching stuff like that, but at the same time, I don't, because it makes me pissed off about the how far we have not come. Like, this man was killed in, what was it, 1965, 62, 64, in the 1960s. And how all of that stuff that happened back then is still happening now. Anyway, we'll go there later on. Anyway, in the news now.
Oh, yeah. Of this podcast.
Yeah. Speaking of, unfortunately,
what people you came passed. Here for.
So last week I did this episode by myself. Right. And so I reported on Betty White died and Sidney Poitier. Then as I'm recording, literally, or after I recorded,
fucking Bob Saget.
America's three. Damn dad.
It happens in threes.
It does. So yeah, Betty, Sidney, and Bob Saget. Bob Saget, that threw me for a loop. I was
Sidney
like, whoa.
Poitier, I love him.
He was amazing.
He was amazing. Also, do you remember when Blue Ivy was betting on that portrait of him at that auction?
Yes, and she kept going up. And yeah. She was just like, I was like, y'all better get palette from her.
She knows.
Yeah, he,
God
that man
bless
was amazing.
Them all. I can't believe that.
Yeah, Betty White, I think she was such a pillar in just the entertainment industry, and especially the time that she came up, and the fact that, did you know she had her own like talk show?
No.
Yeah, she did, and it got canceled, but you know why it got canceled?
Because she's a woman.
No, actually, There was a black comedian that came onto her show, and they did not want her to bring him on there because of the times, being racist. And what she did in return, she actually gave him extra time to do his set.
Betty.
And then a couple weeks later, they canceled her show for that. She's always been down for the blacks.
I know. I love it. You can tell.
Yeah.
It's the way she carries herself.
Absolutely. She definitely was always invited to the cookout.
Always.
Always. But yeah, Bob Saget died, unfortunately. I don't think they released the reason why or his cause of death, but they just found him in a, in his hotel room. So that was pretty sad.
That is sad.
Because he was only 65.
He just got married. I think he just got remarried recently.
Really?
Yeah.
I think his daughters are in. No, his daughters got to be grown. I think his daughters are grown.
DJ Tanner?
No, his real daughters in real life. DJ Tanner got a whole family and.
She does.
Stephanie and Michelle.
Everyone is coming. Like, obviously, he's a big part of the culture, right? Like, Everyone watched Full House.
Yes.
Bob Saget is a fucking punchline. Like, yeah. But all of these celebrities are coming out and they're just fucking sad. They're like, God damn, Bob Saget died.
That was
because did you see John Mayer crying in the car?
No.
He was crying, talking about him. He was just like, what the hell? Like, my friend's dead. It's sad. I don't know.
Celebrities
are just like us.
It would have been better if it was like somebody else in their 90s, but not this guy in 65 and he was, had a podcast.
65 is nothing.
Stuff. It's not. I mean, it used to be like, oh my God, you're 30, you're
I know.
Old. But now
you
I'm
can
37.
Get a whole. You could get a knee replacement at 65.
You can get a heart transplant at 65.
A heart transplant, be living a whole new life.
Absolutely.
That's
absolutely.
Wild.
So yeah, that unfortunately, these celebrities, man, they just keep, oh God, they keep knocking them back. Speaking of other celebrities, what's going on? You were telling me about, I saw on the news, America's Sweetheart. Okay. She was, I think, raised in Brooklyn, I want to say. She went to Hillman College and then she ended up moving to Africa. And marrying a Martin, what's his name? Martin. He was in the Navy. He was a Navy man. Had a daughter.
Denise
Huxtable.
Denise Huxtable.
Yeah. AKA.
Listen, y'all.
Lisa Bonet. She's so beautiful.
COVID has come. It swept the nation. It's taken lives. It's taken years off people's lives. It's taken jobs. It's taken mentalities. Yeah. It's taken relationships.
Absolutely.
A lot of them.
So I think I just need to hold out. My husband
is not the time. It is not the time to enter a COVID relationship. This pandemic is breaking up everyone.
Everybody, yeah.
Kim and Kanye, they're still going through their shit.
Nobody cares about them.
It's it's so entertaining to watch.
You're the only person I think that cares about Kim and Kanye.
It's so entertaining to watch because I know how curated it is for the media.
Yeah.
Like, I know her dating Pete Davidson is not real at all. I know him dating this Julia Fox girl is just like, he's doing the same Barbie doll shit he did with Kim, where like he takes this girl who's like kind of known, but also not, no one really gives a shit. And he just hangs around with her and dresses her up and puts her in new clothes and puts her in touch with the right people and makes her look cooler and puts him.
Can we normalize healing after you're not even legally divorced. Can we normalize a space of time for healing after a relationship has come to an end or a marriage? Like, y'all got kids.
Can we normalize stylish men coming into women's life and upgrading them? I would like that to happen to me. Look, Kim was nothing. She wasn't nothing, but she was a sex tape girl who sold Paris Hilton's goods. And then Kanye put her in some sweatsuits and now she's worth billions of dollars.
No, see, everybody skips over Ray J. Ray J was the one who put her on the map. Actually, technically her mom
actually
was
technically Brandy, because she only got with Ray J to piss Brandy off after Brandy sued her for stealing her money.
That's very true. Allegedly.
All that to say, Jason Momoa and Denise Huxtable are Lisa getting Bonet. A divorce.
They're getting divorced. They're getting divorced. Such
but I heard
couple.
That he cheats on her a lot.
I mean,
and that she may or may not be a lesbian allegedly, which is none of my business, and to each her own.
I mean, I think Jason Momoa is a beautiful man, right? Mm-hmm. And I think it's with
it would be unfair to withhold him from the world.
No, no, not at all, because he's a piece of shit if he's cheating. But I think also too, being he's a celebrity and women are going to throw themselves at him. He's going to throw himself at other women. Mm-hmm. And it's just unfortunate. And it keeps adding to the stereotype that men are cheaters and cannot be monogamous, which I think that there are a lot of men in this world who do not cheat, who can be monogamous. But there are, yeah. But the cheaters ugly. Are louder. No, oh. Barack Obama didn't cheat on Michelle.
That you know of.
He didn't. There's okay. I got evidence. Okay.
Martin cheated on Coretta.
He did. He did. And this is, you know, unfortunately, people that's what happened. But we're not gonna tarnish Martin Luther King on his day. We're not gonna do that.
Not on this podcast.
No.
Not up in here.
Not up in here. Malcolm didn't cheat on Betty. Okay. That's all I'm saying.
All I will say is I loved their relationship dynamic, especially with Lenny Kravitz. I thought that was like the way they were all just like cool hippie couple. Mm-hmm. That was the cool shit to me, yeah. And I'm sad that that's over, but
that sucks. I mean, people are
happy, yeah. And it was amicable, and they're just, you know, living their best life. But I would tell anyone out there, if you're thinking this is my time to dive into a relationship, maybe just wait.
I wouldn't say wait. I would say wait. If you're not healed from a previous relationship, don't jump into something with someone else to pass the time.
Unless it's Jason Momoa. Do whatever you want.
If you just want a fuck friend or a companion, let that be known what it is you want versus one person wants to be in a relationship and the other person's just like, oh, I'm just using you to pass the time. It's okay if you both are using each other mm-hmm. to pass the time with, but because you're both on the same page. But if you're not, just normalize healing time to heal from relationships and to figure out what went wrong so you don't repeat those same cycles in a new relationship.
Just saying a lot of people who started 2021 together did not finish it together.
That is very true.
So.
And some of y'all needed to break up.
It'd be like that sometimes.
You get stuck in the house with each other. You realize we really don't like each other. We just enjoy having sex. And we got all
these
kids.
And that's okay too.
And that's okay too. But thanks be unto God who gives us the victory. Get out of that toxic ass relationship.
And he taketh away.
Yes, he does. To move on to somebody else. So speaking of giving, so to speak, Maya Angelou. Wonderful Black American poet, teacher, author.
She knows why the caged bird sings.
Yes, she does. You know and I mean. Still she rises to this day. So last week they announced that for a limited time, Maya Angelou will be on the back of, or is it the face or the back of the quarter?
No, because you're giving the actual facts. What I want to say is that this was presented to me as a consumer as, surprise, we're putting Maya Angelou on the quarter. Woo! Which is bullshit.
It is straight bullshit. We didn't ask for that.
They're putting her on the back of the quarter for a limited time as a part of like another whole re-release of quarters that they're doing.
But here's the thing. Here's what I do want to know. And Oprah, correct me if I'm wrong. Who asked for that? Because here's the dynamic that the government keeps doing. Black people in this country keep saying, please stop killing us at alarming rates and give us equality. And you guys say, we're not going to do that. But what we will do is we will give you a federal holiday for Juneteenth, even though most of the world are not even federal employees and can even benefit from this holiday. Right. Most Black people celebrated Juneteenth anyway. So who asked for that? Number two, we're asking you to pass the Emmett Till anti-lynching bill, to pass the George Floyd policing bill and voter rights and voter registration. Right. To stop trying to come for Black people in voter registration, people of color. And you government continues to say, well, no, we're not going to do that. You know what we're going to do? Instead, we're going to give you Maya Angelou on a quarter.
You know how disrespectful it is to the culture to put a Black woman on the back of a quarter?
We already carrying this damn country on our backs anyway.
Come on.
And what happened to Harriet?
Read
what
the room.
On a $20 bill? Room. What happened to Harriet? So you going to take Harriet off and not give us Harriet what you promised us and then put us on the back of a... Who walk around with change?
No. Everything is on a debit card.
We got cryptocurrency. Who the hell is... Who got quarters? Who? I mean, I'm going to give me some. I'm going to give me some just because she's
like,
on it. But
they were like, we're going to wait till...
Martin Luther
coins are phased out. We're gonna put all these black people on the fucking coins,
and nobody's using currency. No international country is taking like American money. They're just like, oh no, y'all money means nothing here. It's pretty much a monopoly.
They're paper. Like, oh, we'll put her on a silver dollar.
That nobody can, and then you go to Macy's. I'm sorry, man. We can't accept this currency.
We're card only. Do you have Apple Pay?
It's so disrespectful. Can you all just do one thing that we ask you to do? Pass a bill for black people specifically. You motherfuckers are giving us everything that nobody. Please raise your hand if you were on the committee that said we need Juneteenth as a federal holiday and to put Maya Angelou on the quarter. Raise your hand right now for the congregation to see. Crickets.
That one.
Not a single. Will there be one? Will there be one? No.
Is exactly. It you? Is it you? Is it you?
Damn crickets.
Is it you?
It's ridiculous. I mean, congratulations to Maya Angelou for having that. I think that's a big deal, but it's a big deal we didn't ask for.
No, it's a huge deal. But on the back of the quarter, read the room.
I mean, we were fine with the stamps. We have Maya Angelou stamps. I mean,
no one's mailing shit. We'll put her on a stamp. No one's paying in cash. We'll put her on a coin.
Unless you're in prison, I'm the only people that are mailing stuff. Ain't nobody mailing no letters. You better text me. You better email me or something. It's ridiculous.
Oh my God.
Anyway, on the backs of other things that we do not want, student loans. So,
yo,
student loans.
He is playing games. Joe Byron is playing games.
Listen, we're gonna put a pin in. Well, not in that, but put a pin in Kamala. Speaking on Biden and the fact that people are leaving her camp. Anyway, started with Simone Sanders. Anywho, so Biden has announced it, which we all kind of know. Some of us know this, some of us don't. That he has now deferred student loan repay back again until May the 1st. 2022.
Oh, I have that shit on Google Alerts. Anything having to do with student loans, I need it ASAP.
Oh God, I'm just like, he's like, oh, we'll extend it 90 more days. I'm like, nah, I think that's more than 90 days, but thanks.
Honestly, I will invent the next strain of COVID just to keep not paying.
Hell yeah. Well, my thing is, you just proven to the world that you all can exist without us paying student loans. So clearly, who really needs these? Not a single one.
I'm just, why isn't education free?
Because we live in a capitalist society.
I guess.
That's why. And then Navient is actually, they were found, I don't know if they were found guilty. I'm going to use my words very wisely because Navient could be listening.
They ain't got money to see you, girl.
Well, I have student loans with them, so they might try to fuck
up. Oh, do you really? I do. Because I've never heard of them.
Really?
Do you get paid back?
What do you mean?
Because they're giving a bunch of money back.
Well, people. That's what I was going to say. They there was a settlement that went out because they were basically having, allegedly, I'll just say that for the protection of the podcast, but they were very ruthless and aggressive and illegal practices to try to get their money, right? First of all, nobody told you to buy my debt. That was number one. You could have left it with Sally Mae. Anywho, that's your business and your bad investing. So they now have to pay back, I think it's like $1.7 billion in, they have to either pay it back or forgive it because of their harsh practices and stuff like that. So I did have my student loans at first, when I first graduated PT school, were with Navient. And then they were just too aggressive. So I'm going to check to see if I qualify for that. They were very aggressive. Like, they would call you all hours of the night. And I'm just like, yo.
Because I call, every time I call up the government.
Yeah.
And I'm like, hey, it's me. I will not be making this payment. Hey, they're me. Like, oh, hey, girl, what do we need to do about that? Let's go ahead and get the papers filed out. And I'm like, this was such a pleasant conversation. Why would I ever pay these loans? You guys are so nice.
I deferred my loans and forbear. That's why I went back and got another degree. I was like,
Forbear.
I just get financial hardship.
As soon as COVID happened, I called and I was like, and is there anything I need to do to not be paying on this shit? And they're like, no, it's all in deferment. You're fine. You're sure? And they're like, no, we've taken care of it.
At some point, that deferment going to end. You're not going to ever have no more forbearance left. They're going to be like, no, ma'am, sorry.
They were like, you were already rolled into this in 2022, it looks like. Yeah. You benefited from the COVID waivers.
Exactly. So yeah, Navient, they have to pay back this money or whatever. But yeah, it was a debt settlement because of their practices. I just think, again, you just proved to the world, or to the United States, to the consumers in the United States, that for 2 years, no one paying on student loans is not a big deal. So just let it go.
Just
let it go.
Stop with the interest, at least.
I honestly do feel like if people only had to pay back what they owed, student loans would not be an issue.
It's understandable. I took this money out for my education.
Yeah.
with the understanding that I would need to pay it back, I'll pay it back. Mm-hmm. But it's the interest. It's insane.
It should be illegal to put interest on any student loan whatsoever. Now, I get it with a car, with a house, with other bank loans and stuff like that, business loans or whatever. But with education, I feel like it should be honestly illegal to put any interest on any of these loans for school at all.
The interest should be deferred until 20 years out. No, like, there should be no interest. Had 20 years to pay this loan. Now we're going to start fucking accruing interest.
No, that's not fair.
Why?
Because I've been out of school for a while.
Because you're halfway there.
I'm more than halfway there.
But if you would have been paying on just the principal and not the interest for the last whatever years, you'd have made a good dent. You know what I mean?
Ma'am, I have 4 degrees. So I was like laying from girlfriends.
You don't have to explain to me. I went to private school. That was dumb.
Oh, yeah, you did.
I went to one of the biggest universities in Texas. And then my ass turned around and was like, let me get a master's away from private school.
Listen, they
wasn't my bet.
We were bamboozled.
I don't regret anything.
I do.
But
I regret it. I definitely regret it.
It's just insane. But what do you want to tell Joe Byron right now?
Joe Byron.
Cancel that shit.
Take me out to dinner. Speaking of Joe Byron, did you hear? Here's the thing. What I do not like to do on this podcast, right, is down any black people. But I will call out certain things that need to be called out, right? What I think is very interesting is how allegedly there's people that are leaving Kamala Harris's team.
Hmm.
So in the news this past week, Simone Sanders, I want to say Simone was her PR, like chief of PR or something like that. You can correct me if I'm wrong.
She was her Olivia Pope.
Exactly. So she actually got an opportunity to go and she has this show now on MSNBC and like
those
Peacock.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she has like her own like political show on there, whatever that she just announced. But apparently, allegedly, people are saying that Kamala is very difficult to work with.
Well, after that Charlamagne interview, I was shocked. You have lost it.
I'm shocked.
I don't know if you had it, but you don't anymore.
She never did. She's a prosecutor. What the fuck do you expect a vice president? She's a goddamn prosecutor. They are the most ruthless animals and very necessary in this society, but she's a ruthless prosecutor. You really think I bet her tolerance for just anything is that big.
I just don't think that everyone is made to be a politician. And I think politicians are politicians for specific reasons. They're sociopaths.
Yeah.
They manipulate everything. They're always thinking three steps ahead. Ideally, you'd be good at working rooms and working people and making deals and being 3 steps ahead and not losing your cool because you can see the long game.
Exactly.
And that's what I really appreciate. If you're going to be... Ow. If you're going to be a politician, I need you to have like at least a good sociopath level. Because where's the fun in that if you're not?
Yeah.
Like get it together. I want to not know you're evil until the evil's in my face.
Well, I don't want you to lose your cool. I need you to be in control of yourself at all times. Because even Biden is like that a lot of times. Like, you know, people will say, it's malarkey. You shut the hell up. I'm like, Joe, you can't talk to people like that. Like, you're the president, dude. If Obama would have did that shit, he would have been kicked out of office. True. He'd just be like, hey, you shut your goddamn mouth right now. That's a fucking lie. You mean... You're the president.
Like, they would have been like, he is aggressive.
Yes.
He is violent. He's a violent black man. Condescending and disrespectful.
Exactly. Like, Joe Biden don't give a shit who he go off on. Hey, you shut the fuck up. Bullshit. It's malarkey. It's goddamn malarkey.
And I won't stand for it.
Now shut your mouth and let me finish. Like, damn, Joe.
I miss good, skeezy politicians who...
I don't.
I do.
It was a wonderful, funny time because we were in a dark space.
It was a funny time because we were in a dark space. Yeah. It was like an episode of The Office.
Yeah.
No, that we were living in.
The funniest was with Trump and Hillary. When he kept following her behind, like through that whole event. And I'm like, Trump, stop walking behind her. You're a fucking 2-year-old.
When he would
stop.
Just cut her off and say dumb shit in the debates. And she would get so heated. And I was like, this is what he's trying to do, girl. It was like being in high school and like the cool, like the popular guy was debating something. And like the really nerdy girl who's very passionate about it.
Right.
And he's just pissing her off and she's getting so upset. I'm like, he's doing this on purpose. You know,
free pizza for everybody.
Free dress every day. She's like
school dances every day. Yeah, pep rallies for everybody. Yeah,
I want to get new books.
I just want us to be able to have equality among students. Boo, tomato, tomato, tomato. Trump was the worst, but he was very entertaining. That's all I'm going to say. We are not Trump supporters. However, it was a fun time.
We needed some entertainment. That was a rough time in our lives.
Definitely. Absolutely. Also, let's just switch gears for a second. First of all, let's just take a break and we'll be right back.
This episode of the Face Off with Fleming and Fowler is sponsored by MyApothecary.com. MyApothecary is the premier online destination for hemp-derived CBD that will help you curate a wealthy lifestyle.
CBD is one of many restorative compounds found in the cannabis plant. Its benefits include decreased pain, improved mood, decreased anxiety, and much more. Some of y'all know that I have crazy ADHD, so I'm heavily medicated at all times, and I've been taking CBD oil at night to kind of calm me down, get me ready for bed. 1010 would recommend.
Worried about regulations? The passing of the 2018 Farm Bill made hemp-derived CBD legal to sell and consume. So yes, CBD is 100% legal and perfect for every person of legal age. My Apothecary's featured line, Broad Bloom, offers broad-spectrum CBD oil drops, sports cream, and soft gels. These products have no THC, so you can stay fly without the high or zen without the spin. Shop now at www.myapothecary.com and sign up for their newsletter to get exclusive offers, product releases, and CBD news.
Remember to always check with your healthcare provider before consuming any supplement. You must be 21 to purchase and consume, and shipping is only available in the US of A.
Don't forget to shop at www.myapothecary.com.
Okay,
we're back.
So we're back from the break, and so we got to go into COVID, kind of, sort of.
No thanks.
Everybody's getting sick. You have a lot of teachers right now who are out sick with COVID because CDC obviously has changed their guidelines and saying that the quarantine phase has now been decreased from 14 days to 10 days to 7 days to now 5. And there's, you know, been this overwhelming amount of people who are getting flu-rona, which is the flu and coronavirus, or they begin getting Deltacron, which is the Delta variant, and Omicron. And I said flu-rona, right?
Yes, you did. Did you see Omarion's video that he posted?
Yes. He was like, I am Omarion, a singer, not a variant. So, yeah, speaking of COVID, did you hear, okay, on the backs of the COVID strains or whatever, I saw this video where this lady was talking about how a lot of these companies are, you know, obviously not trying to take accountability or responsibility for their staff members getting sick, right? And you know how companies have put life insurance policies on their employees, or they tell you as an incentive, like, oh yeah, we'll give you a $75,000 life insurance policy because the hospital that I used to work at, mm-hmm. Gave, like, I think it was a $75,000 life insurance policy. What I did not know, allegedly, is for the protection of the podcast, is that a lot of companies will get life insurance policies on their employees, and they're called dead peasants insurance. Dead peasants. First of all, why am I a peasant? Like, that's disrespectful.
That seems like it shouldn't be a legal term.
It really shouldn't be.
Dead peasant insurance. I didn't know, but I didn't realize that you can take a life insurance policy out on anybody.
Oh yeah, you can.
You can just be like, oh, when you die.
Mm-hmm. I'm thinking about getting one out on you.
Well, then I'm thinking about getting one out on you.
You should. We can borrow against it and get rich.
Did you see that dentist whose wife just died randomly in a hunting accident in Africa and he collected millions of dollars in life insurance?
Wow.
That shit still happens. It's insane to me.
You should, I think, in
with
order
all
to
the snapped specials and all of that shit,
I think you should have to get permission. Like, if I wanted to get a life insurance policy out on you, you should have to sign to say, yes, it's okay for you to pay for a life insurance policy on me. I don't think you should be able to just do that all willy-nilly like that.
It's weird.
Yeah. But like, yeah, it. Some jobs are like,
makes sense though. Of course they would, because like, it's just a business.
Oh yeah. And they have to protect their assets.
And they have to protect their assets. But mm-hmm. like,
I think that's horrible that they do that, but yeah, dead peasants insurance. So
I hate corporate America.
Protect yourselves. Cause even too, again, a lot of these teachers, like, I mean, I really feel like there's going to come a time or a period this year. I hope it doesn't happen very soon, but I really do think that we're going to see a collapse in the American education system, because all of these teachers are out with COVID. then you have substitutes who are now trying to fill in. They're out with COVID. Oh, then even some school systems have put in
that she there's no subs.
Well, yeah, and then they talked about putting the bus drivers and trying to prepare the bus drivers to now teach the students as well too.
Have you watched that show? You know,
Abbott Elementary.
Yes,
I love that show.
Oh my God, Quinta.
She is her name Quinta or Quinta? It's Quinta.
Quinta. I don't know. Is it Quinta?
I think it's Quinta. Either way, yes. Fuck. But I love Abbott Elementary is a hilarious
show.
So
good. That show is so good. Yeah. It's on Hulu, but it's probably on a network.
I think it's ABC. I want to say it's on ABC. Yeah.
But when they have the like, is it the bus driver that they ended up having to bring in as a sub because they don't have substitute teachers? Yep. I died. I was watching it with my mom and I was like, is this what it's like? And she was like, yeah.
Yeah. It's bad.
She was like, they can't get a sub for anything.
No. Because nobody wants to. I mean, first of all, you're paying teachers shit. Let's be very clear. But then also, too, who wants to keep risking their lives going into these school systems when you're not mandating anything and you know that there's an active problem? But
with these disrespectful ass kids who exactly. Anytime you want to stand up for yourself, guess what they got? A camera phone.
Exactly. But even, too, I think it's kind of like corporate America where, you know, one area is like, hey, if you just fix this one thing real quick, it'll make the efficiency go so much better. Well, no, because if we fix that, then we got to fix all this other stuff. And it's a chain of events. I think, honestly, that the U.S. government is willing to sacrifice the educational system to not shut down, because if you shut down schools, every other public sector and business is going to shut down, because
that's where the money is.
Exactly. The parents have to be home with their kids. Mm-hmm. So if they shut
only
it down
paying
again,
taxes. Because my child is enrolled in school.
Exactly.
And I know that my taxes directly go to this school. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to fuck up the schools real quick, guess what I'm not going to do? Exactly. Pay my fucking taxes.
So they're going to keep saying, well, no, teachers, just do this, you can, and sub this and do that, and blah, 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 blah. It's ridiculous. But I do think that we are going to see, unfortunately, the collapse of
How many people have already pulled their kids out of school to either go to private school, charter school, or just homeschool them?
A lot. My best friend. She homeschools her boys.
Because they're like, fuck it.
Yeah.
You know, if you can afford it.
Yeah, I mean, it's sad. But also to kind of speaking on the backs of COVID, did you hear that weed, marijuana, allegedly. The devil's lettuce allegedly blocks COVID?
I want to know who did the legwork on that research.
Every base in America. Every base. Listen, hard basing up. But I mean, it's from the earth. It's a herb. I mean, it's a herb.
It's a herb. What about weed makes you immune to COVID, I wonder? Because you remember at the beginning of COVID, all these people were getting it and being fucked because their lungs were messed up.
Well, yeah, because you're still smoking.
Yeah.
So don't smoke your weed. Like, eat it or, you know, put it in, drink it in
drops,
a tea.
Ingest
exactly,
it.
Exactly. A tincture, something. But just don't smoke anything. Drugs or nothing. I mean, the only thing you should be smoking is the nebulizer.
Oh.
For breathing treatments. I'm just saying.
Peyote. Do you smoke peyote? You drink peyote.
What is peyote? What is that?
You never heard of peyote?
No.
Like the Native American hallucinogenic herb peyote?
No. Thank you for telling me, because if somebody offers me that shit, I'm going to say no.
If someone offers you peyote? Peyote.
Peyote.
People, like, you know, peyote.
No, at first I thought you were trying to say payola, like the mafia, and I was like, what?
No, it's a small spineless cactus.
Spelled, not smelled. Peyote. I've never heard of that.
Psychoactive mescaline.
No. Is that how they reach out to the ancestors?
Yeah.
That's awesome. Maybe I do need to do that.
That you like go on a trip and it's like a very spiritual thing.
What about for black
ancestors?
But
there's also like shamans that like lead you, they'll like usher you on this peyote induced trip and like,
yeah,
you figure out the meaning. I probably should do this. Maybe we should go on a peyote trip.
I mean, is that illegal? Is peyote illegal?
Not if you're on Native American ground, I don't think.
So
right?
On a reservation?
Aren't the rules different
there? Do you have to be Native American?
I've been watching a lot of Yellowstone, so I can tell you.
Oh, Jesus.
Things are different
now
there.
She thinks she's Native American.
Tripping on peyote in Navajo Nation. Look, there's a whole article.
Really?
Yeah, because then isn't it like religious?
Well, see, the man wants you to believe it's tripping. They ain't tripping. They communicate with their ancestors. Don't do that. Mm-hmm. Don't do that to them.
For almost 6 hours, I've been sitting in a teepee in the Navajo Nation, the largest Indian reservation in the United States.
They were just stuck there?
They were just tripping balls.
Having conversations with their ancestors?
Probably. I don't know what do, but we could probably go to Africa and figure some shit out.
Yeah, well, we got to be careful because there's a lot of stuff. I want to talk to the right ancestors.
What if it's like in Black Panther where he goes to be with his like...
Oh yeah, where he drinks the what you call it stuff with the purple flower. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That'll be awesome. That'll be really awesome. Also, too, on the backs of COVID, did you hear that people who are falsifying these COVID vaccination cards, you can actually get up to a year in prison.
I've been telling y'all,
if you're caught with one,
shit's not right. It's a felony. Stop doing it. Either get vaccinated or don't, but deal with it. Stop making these fake fucking vaccination cards. I hate it. It's a pet peeve. I do not like it.
I keep saying, if this was Ebola, nobody would question a vaccine.
If this was leprosy, you guys would be in the vax clinic. All right.
I wouldn't have even questioned it at first if it was Ebola. Because as y'all know, we are very transparent on this podcast. I was not for this vaccine. Mm-hmm. I was like, Tuskegee, bitch. No, no, no. I'm vaccinated. But because I was like,
allegedly for the podcast, she's vaccinated.
No, I'm definitely vaccinated. I got the
show me your card.
It's in my wallet. I didn't get it laminated though. And I have, I can show it on my phone because they give me a little thingy or whatever to do my little pass thing. Because I got mine at CVS.
Oh, that's cool.
Yes, yeah, so I have my passport in my vaccination passport in my phone. But anyway, yeah, so you can get up to a year in jail if you're caught either distributing or caught with a fake vaccination COVID card.
I'm obviously not in the situation where it's like life or death to be vaccinated or not, I guess, or like show that you're vaccinated, but just like, I don't know, either get the vaccine or deal with what you have to deal with. I don't get this fake vaccine card bullshit.
Yeah. I don't think that's,
do people think it's like the Holocaust? Like this is just like a card you have to present. Like you're, I don't know.
I think most people are doing it to be able to go out of the country. I think that's where most people
just feel like random.
I would
bullshit.
Assume. Yeah. It's not like they're, you know, trying to go to Applebee's and Applebee's is saying, no, you can't.
Well, I'll tell you, when I was in New York, they were like, give me your ID, give me a vaccine card. You cannot walk in this bitch.
Are you having a stroke right now?
I started saying bitch, and then I was going to say not that.
Oh.
bar, restaurant, wherever. They were really? Like, yeah. They were like, vaccine card and ID. Name better match. And then you can come in. That's the only place I've been where it's like serious.
Is that like a real like a posh kind of place, or whatever?
Literally every place I went to dinner.
Really?
Just like normal place. Every bar I went to.
Oh, that's in New York, though. That's right. Yeah, New York, because they have those mandates now in New York where they can ask you for your.
So I'm saying that's the only place I've been where it's like, show me your vaccine card.
Yeah.
Everyone else doesn't care.
Yeah, no. I think, like I said, I think it's more so for like getting on, like going out of the country or going different places, whatever. But then the same thing is like, you're gonna get stuck in these countries if your vaccination card is fake. And you test positive, you're gonna have to quarantine before they will let your ass on a plane.
My thing is, how have we not come up with some kind of database to where I don't have to carry my fucking vaccine card?
Because
how are we not all, like, every vaccine has a unit number. That's what they're writing on the card. So why isn't that just input into a system?
Because we have boomers running the country.
That's true.
That's why. All right. So off the backs of COVID, thank God. Did you hear that? In college, right? I'm quite sure everybody has done this, probably religiously. I know I'm not the only person that did it. You know how like back in the day you went to college and you were like, dang, I ain't got no money, so I'm gonna just go ahead and just go to the store and just overdraft one time because it'll let you, like, you know, use your debit card one time and just take your money off, blah, blah, blah. But then you knew, okay, I had to pay $35
for the overdraft today fee. When Capital One was like, we went ahead and approved this purchase, but you're overdraft. I was like, oh,
I'd be like, don't do, nobody asked you to do that. Block these people, especially stuff that's on auto pay. I don't need that right now. Yeah. But half the time, I forgot about it. Block it. Bank of America has actually reduced their overdraft fees to now $10.
What did it used to, do you know what it used to be?
$35.
Damn. Every time it went to do,
every time.
Oh, so it would just rack it up.
And I'm just like, I heard this one comedian say, which is hilarious, I can't remember his name, but he was just like, how are you going to charge me for not having any money? Clearly, I don't have it. So why do you keep charging me extra money for not having it? I'm not going to have it anymore. But yeah, I think there should be no such thing as overdraft fees. If it's, let people just be embarrassed. Just decline it. I would rather you decline me at the Target line, because that would be God saying, bitch, you ain't had no business getting at the dollar spot. Go take your broke ass home, you know? But I mean, God's not going to talk to me like that. But.
I mean, I don't have kids. I feel like if I had kids, that would be a time where I'm like, just, I'll fucking deal with it later.
I had a friend. I don't know why it tickles me so bad. I had a friend in college. This is when people used to write checks, right? So when we first went off to college, she would literally, we would go to Walmart and she would write a check because, you know, it takes like 2 days.
Oh yeah, that was the good
she
one.
She would buy like $100 worth of fucking
wait for
groceries.
That shit to overdraft post date.
And she did it every time we went to Walmart, and I was just like, I know what this bitch won't
do. Dude, growing up poor, that was the shit. My mom used to be like, we can order pizza because I can write the check and it won't cash till next week. Or she'd be like, I'll give you this check, but it's post-dated. Tell them it's post-dated and that they cannot cash the shit to next week. Being poor was a fucking mood, it's, dude. A whole vibe.
It was fun, especially too.
There's before shit you don't even think technology about. Yeah. You would go to HEB and you knew you could write a check because it took at least 3 or 4 days for them to ask that shit, and you just hoped.
You'd be like, let me just get everything I need right now because I might not be able to go back again. Yeah, that was fun, man. Times.
Good times. And man, if you grow up rich, just you don't get it.
Yeah, that's why you ain't got no street smarts.
Oh, you didn't have to worry about food? Nah, you didn't got it.
That's hilarious, to say the least.
Honestly, like, God bless you and your family, and I hope you're doing very well, but you just don't understand what we had to go through with a post-dated check.
And I'm still really good friends with this young lady who used to do that all the time, and we talk about that all the time. Remember you used to do that at work?
You gotta do what you gotta fucking
she's
do.
She's like, the good old days. Oh, gosh. All right. Anything else we need to talk about before we move on to... I kind of, like, lost my words. Oh, what were you telling me about the... What's her name? Jillian Maxwell or something like that? Galen. Who's Julian? I literally wrote Julian. I don't know who that is.
So I don't know if anyone else in the world cares about the Jeffrey Epstein, Galen Maxwell saga, but she, you know, he supposedly offed himself in prison. He did not kill himself.
Definitely not. He's on an island somewhere.
Allegedly. But her trial happened. Mm-hmm. When did it happen? Probably at the end of the year, December.
Yeah, because she's already been.
Yeah, she was. Like, but I just was re-listening to the trial. She has been found guilty. Mm-hmm. That lady was insane, dude. All the shit they did was insane.
You know what I don't understand though? Men who
have egg-shaped penises, because Jeffrey Epstein allegedly had an egg-shaped penis. Yeah,
definitely didn't know that.
Was that a firework?
It was.
It is January 16th.
Exact. My neighborhood, because there's no noise ordinance out here.
If there's one thing I hate, it's people who do unnecessary fireworks.
I'm sorry. You're not going to be able to just skip over the fact that you said an egg-shaped penis. What? Oh.
Yeah, supposedly all the girls that came forward, they all testified that he had an egg-shaped penis. I don't know how that... I literally don't know how it works, and I don't have any more information for you. That's all I have to say.
Okay, I think now we want to skip over that part, because that's really weird. But the one thing I don't like about predatory men... It, among all the things I don't like about them.
Here's one thing I really don't like, and it's predatory men. My
biggest pet peeve is that predatory men are not successful without a woman being on their team. And I hate that. The fact that there's a woman, you literally are assisting this predator with doing all of these horrible things to other women and young girls.
And it's because you have the intuition, you have the soft side, you have the pull, you have the manipulate, you know what I mean? Like, you just have that take from being a woman.
Exactly.
That you can pull all of these girls in and make them feel comfortable and make them think it's okay.
That's evil.
It's disgusting. I also want to know what it is about money and power that makes everyone turn into a fucking pervert.
Money, power, respect. Got you right. Money, power. Maybe you need to ask the Locks. No, they don't do that. They're not. They're very nice gentlemen. I'm just saying, I was singing the song from the Locks, Jadakiss and Styles P, whatever. Mm-hmm. And Lil' Kim was on that. Anyway, yeah. I think it's because they become bored. It's the same reason people go to bestiality. You've had enough threesomes, you've had enough orgies, and you're like, I wonder little what girls fucking a cow would be like.
God, it's so, I just, you can,
I know. Think you just.
That is like in.
That's gunshots.
It's too close to be comfortable.
That really is.
Why is it? It's like in your front yard.
I know. That better not be my neighbor doing shit like that.
It's the chicken.
It's the one.
He's strapped it to a chicken.
It's the neighbors across the street. They always doing stupid shit. No, that's not them. No, they're not outside.
If the purge has broken out and I'm stuck here with you.
No. The streets are safe. I have my camera. I'm looking at my camera right now. No. Nobody's out there.
Okay, good.
You know, your car's good.
Well, that's all I got, is to say that she was found guilty, thank God, because she did it and she helped him and she lured all these young girls that's in disgusting. And made them think that it was a normal thing.
It's disgusting.
And she took advantage of these poor girls in these situations where they needed money or you know what I mean.
Ugh. It's disgusting. Absolutely.
Anyway,
disgusting.
Rot in jail. She won't make it.
She'll probably be like El Chapo, got a little secret hideout somewhere, because you know Jeffrey didn't kill himself, so you know they'll find a way for him to escape. Anyway,
let's talk about something fun.
Let's talk about something fun.
You missed me. I know you did.
No, not really.
Okay.
I just didn't want it to be weird talking to myself in a camera. Anyway, what have you been watching?
boy, oh boy.
Oh, geez. This is going to be good.
Okay. Listen, hear me out. Every couple of years, a show, a series, a movie comes out, mm-hmm. and it reignites my faith, my hope, my attraction to white men. They're few and far between.
Oh, sweet.
Like, there, I had, like, a brush with Miles Teller in, like, 2017, Dylan O'Brien in, like, 2019. It's just, like, things come and go. And I'm like,
the fact that you say stuff like this and you just keep rocking on.
There's just things that come out and I'm like, are they awful? Is this the end? Like,
yeah.
Do they not have lips? Because this one does. You know what I mean?
No, because I'm not attracted to white men, but I, okay.
Me, uh-huh. I would never be like.
How are you not attracted to white men and you grew up as a white woman?
That's a good question. I'm not attracted to white men, but I'm never like that white boy right there. But there's a certain type of white boy.
Like Jason, no, Jason's not
white. Jason Momoa is not white.
Yeah, he's definitely Samoan.
Yeah, I don't know who it is. I could, like, off the top of my head.
Timothée Chalamet.
No. okay, but honestly, though, not Timothée Chalamet, but when I saw him in The King, I was like, oh, I get it.
Chatham Tatum? What?
No, not Channing Tatum either.
Chatham. What? What's
Channing
his name?
Tatum.
Channing Tatum. No?
All that to, can you just let me finish? Let me finish my thought. What's wrong with you?
My brain isn't working.
All that to say, I started watching Yellowstone.
Okay.
Ma'am. First of all, no one told me Kevin Costner was the star. Oh, I would have watched this shit years ago. I'm obsessed with him. Mostly because, A, he was a bodyguard. Anyone who can protect Whitney Houston can protect me. B, he's always the lovable grandpa, but also, like, loves black people. Remember that little movie where he has a little mixed granddaughter and he, like, goes to bat for her?
With the
Octavia
Olivia,
Spencer? Yeah. Love that man.
I said Olivia.
Kevin, I'm team Kevin Costner over here. Beautiful. This show.
It's that amazing. How many seasons?
Four.
Oh, damn.
I have never binged anything quicker in my life. I'm obsessed with all of these fucking cowboys. Yeah. I would move to Montana tomorrow if I could.
Nah.
Are there any black
people in this show?
There is one black cowboy. There's a couple.
Oh, cool. Okay. Well, diversity. Love it.
It's just so good. And I'm back on the white train, I think, for at least...
72 hours?
For at least, no, probably like a good couple months.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
Cowboys, man. Never thought I'd be a cowboy for me. I was never closed off to the idea. It blew it wide open for me.
Really?
I need a cowboy. I need a man who will be like, I don't like the way he looked at you. I'm going to fucking kill him. And then kills him. Doesn't tell me about it. Hides the body. That's what I want. Or Kevin Costner, who's like, I have acres and acres of land, all this cattle. I'm going to get out there and just rope some shit. We're going to bring it home.
Interesting.
All of that with a plot. Great plot. The cute brother from 50 Shades of Grey, he's in it.
Yeah.
Great man.
Never saw 50 Shades of Grey, though. But
you never saw any of the 50 Shades?
Mm-mm. It's porn. So if I want to watch porn, I'll watch real porn.
But it's just so funny. It's like awful. It's one of those, you just got to watch it. Mm. But you have to watch it with like a glass of wine and a friend and just laugh.
Nah. I'll pass.
But like, okay, the guy in that, Jamie Dornan, white man I love. He's a good one.
Interesting.
All that to say, you should watch Yellowstone.
Yellowstone.
I have fully committed. I'm in it. I will be moving to Montana at some point, at least a second home.
Okay. Interesting.
And Beth is a badass. Casey, if I could be in a Casey Rip Kevin Costner sandwich, I'd be happy for the rest of my life.
Mm.
Yellowstone has taken up all of my days for like the past 2 weeks. I was going to say,
because the fact that you just binged up four seasons of
I couldn't stop. And then every time you try to stop an episode.
You want to know what keeps happening.
They leave it on a cliffhanger.
Yeah.
Purposefully. Paramount, you're doing a great job.
It's just like Shonda Rhimes. I hate Shonda Rhimes. I love and hate her at the same time. This was white
Shonda Rhimes. It's so good. I also love, I made everyone at work start watching it because I needed to talk to someone about it. So that's what I've been watching. 10/10 would recommend. I don't know. Y'all are all the worst for not telling me to watch Yellowstone earlier, and I really don't appreciate that.
It kept coming up in like my recommended, like, oh, watch Yellowstone, and I would see like the previews and stuff like that, because I saw the one scene that I think everybody knows where the girl is accused of stealing some jewelry or whatever in the store, mm-hmm. and then the white lady comes in there and like defends her and starts breaking shit.
Yeah.
So I was just like, oh, this looks really, really good. So I watched a couple episodes, but not enough to get me hooked just yet.
There's just, I couldn't stop. Once I started, I couldn't stop.
Oh, that's cool.
So that's cool. Literally all I've been doing.
Is watching Yellowstone.
Yeah. I also watched Over the Break, Don't Look Up.
I saw that too. It was cheesy, but it was okay.
Yeah. I really liked how they played the, like, basically right-left mm-hmm. political bipartisan.
Yeah.
I liked that. I finally watched the Sandra Bullock movie.
What was...
I want to say Untouchables, but that's not right.
No, not Untouchables. Unthinkable.
Unthinkable. Yeah. I watched that. That was good.
Yeah, it was really good. She's a great actress.
She is.
I love her.
10/10. Death to 2021.
I have not seen that yet, but I want to watch it.
Hilarious.
Is Samuel L. Jackson in it? Because he narrated the 2021.
No, but Hugh Grant's in it. Mm. Lucy Liu is in it.
Really?
Yeah, I fucking love Lucy Liu.
Yeah, she's awesome.
It was great.
Yeah.
I can't think of other. Oh, and a show called Yellow Jackets. Have you heard about it?
No.
Okay. It's supposed to be one of the best shows of the year. I only watch the best shows of the year.
Okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm. It's a Showtime show. It's got the Wilds vibes, like a Lord of the Flies kind mm-hmm. of feeling. It's this teenage soccer team. They are going to championship. I don't fucking know. Whatever. They're on a flight. The flight crashes. They end up in like the Canadian wilderness and they end up having to do crazy shit to survive. They're out there for like a year.
Mm.
So like there's cannibalism vibes. Like that's what I'm getting. I've only watched one episode, but it's supposed to be really good. And that's my new
show
that I'm watching because I'm done with Yellowstone.
Wow. Well, I watched a couple of different things. We're going to talk about one particular show that I watched or movie that I saw it tying into the Rehab Corner. But anyway, we didn't get a chance to really discuss this on air, even though it already ended Insecure. Insecure ended, the series finale, it wrapped. We saw the final episode. Spoiler alert, Lawrence and Issa are together.
I would just like to say one thing to everyone out there who talked shit to me and doubted me and made me feel like a toxic piece of shit. But guess what? Lawrence ended up on top. So you were wrong and I was right. And I know true love when I see it and they are meant to be together and you cannot tell me otherwise. Thank you. We can wrap the podcast. Yeah. That's all I needed to say.
No, I can tell you I think that was the way that they ended the show, I think was really amazing. Not only that, and I'm glad that we got a chance to have an ending. Like even like with, it was very reminiscent of like A Different World. When A Different World ended mm-hmm. and they had the series finale, when Whitley and Dwayne, you know, kind of moved to, was it Tokyo? I think it was. Anyway, I'm just glad that the show actually ended. What it really kind of signified in my life, I literally was like crying my eyes out and I called my best friend. I was like, I miss you so much. Oh my God. You need to come to Texas. I need to take a trip to Atlanta. Oh, I miss my friends. But it was so good. It was such a good like ending.
I was just having this conversation with my friends because I was like, this show is about Molly and Issa's love story.
Yeah, definitely.
This is their relationship. Mm-hmm. And it was just an added bonus that like Molly ends up happy in a relationship yeah. and Issa ends up happy, even if it's just to her happiness yeah. with Lawrence. But when they're in the bathroom at Molly's wedding, having mm-hmm. that heart to heart, bitch.
Yeah. I just weeped. I was
tears,
like
sobbing.
Yeah. It was amazing. Cause
there's just like, there's God, man.
Friendships are amazing when they're like, the thing is
good. Friendships are good, good.
But I think the one thing that makes a good friendship is how you handle the bad times. Like the good mm-hmm. times are super easy to deal with, right? Because they're good times. But I think it's how you maneuver and how you choose to respond in those times where you're not the closest, and when you're kind of irritated with each other and you're trying to navigate through your own personal life and feeling like that person is not there for you in the capacity that you need them to be yeah. and all that kind of stuff. So I think when friendships are challenged, I think it's a great thing, but it's how you recover that really is the underlining factor of how good your friendship actually is.
Yeah.
So
there's just nothing like better or pure or makes me feel more, I don't know, just like full of life than like people just wanting the other person to be happy and yeah. do well. And you're so excited for them and you Absolutely. Feel good for them. And you just like, I just love you. And whatever's good for you, I just want to have like, that's yeah. such, I love that part of friendship.
Yeah. I think too, like Oprah said it best, like her and Gail did this, this interview or no, I think it was Oprah did an interview and, I think it was with Barbara Walters, and she was asking her about her friendship with Gail. And she was saying that the reason why her friendship with Gail is so successful, especially with her being Oprah Winfrey, is because they don't envy each other's lives. Like, Gail is not trying to be Oprah. She is Gail in her own right, mm-hmm. even though she makes some stupid ass fucking decisions. Gail, get your fucking life together. Anyway, neither here nor there. But also too, Oprah is not trying to be Gail. So even though, you know, Oprah is this amazing international star, Gail is not trying to, you know, do anything to compete with her. And I think too, a lot of times in friendships, it comes, some people deduce their friendships down to competition. And it's like, well, we can be friends as long as I'm winning too. Mm-hmm. But when I'm in a losing season and you're in a winning season, how you respond to that really is a testament to how, first of all, good of a person you are, but also to how true of a friend you are as well, yeah. too. Because can you clap for me when I'm the one that's winning and you're not? And that, I have definitely been in friendships or ended friendships because it's just like, I've just backed away. I don't follow you on social media. I don't converse with you at whatsoever because that little silent competition bullshit, I don't got time for that. We're not competing. First of all, we're not in the same industries. Even if we were, I'm not competing with you. I'm not here to compete with you. We should both win and we should both be, you know, pulling for each other to win because there's enough out here for both of us. Like, what the hell?
We're stupid. All rooting for you.
Exactly. You know, exactly. So, I mean, it was great to see their friendship grow and be challenged, but also be able to come back together as friends to be able to, you know, have a happily ever after.
So. And once again, Team Lawrence. Thank you.
Listen, I said the same thing. I was glad that they got together because if she would have got with Nathan, I would have been so pissed.
No, the whole show has been about her trying to get over Lawrence and it not working.
Yeah.
So just be with him. He grew up, you grew up, he had a baby on the side, but it wasn't even on the side because y'all are broken up and it sucked. Exactly. And now you guys are going to be together and it's fine.
Yeah.
And that's real life.
It is. It really, not always, but it definitely is real life. I'm just glad that they got back together and that she found her purpose. Yeah. And she found her purpose too of what she wanted to do and, you know, being able to be a boss in that own right. Because I don't think it was just about her relationship with Lawrence, but it was also her relationship with herself. Because even at the very end, the fact that she no longer needed herself in the mirror because now she found her security. So I love that.
My thing was at the beginning of this show, it was like she was so unhappy because she felt like she was hustling and she was having trouble finding herself and she was making all these moves, but Lawrence wasn't doing anything to better himself.
Yeah.
And that was frustrating to her and it was unattractive to her and that's why they broke up. So then the last three seasons have been her still trying to hustle and find herself and it not working and her being unhappy and her making some strides but being pushed back some.
Yeah.
So it was nice at the end for her to be like, oh, I have done what I wanted to do and I found myself and now I'm also in, and like Lawrence went off and did that too. Mm-hmm. And we're both in a space now where we can make this relationship work because we're both independent people who have filled voids in ourselves or, you know, got more confident in all of those things.
Yeah. It was definitely a really good ending. I'm sad that it ended. I did watch a little documentary that they had at the very end where they talked about like the making of it and everything and how she changed the ending a few times and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So it was really
beautiful. I'm like, did Molly's mom need to die?
First, okay,
I
don't think she needed to die either. But here's the thing. Yvonne Orji is such a great actress.
But that
her acting when she found out her mom died was like, I was like, bitch.
I was like, no.
I was like, I think you needed a little bit more acting class on that because that was just the worst acting ever.
You know what? I'm honestly like, God bless you for not being able to relate to that and having nothing to draw on because that is a blessing in itself. But girl,
you could have studied
that
somebody.
That was like 80s movie, Lifetime series.
Did you watch Boys in the Hood? You could have acted like the mama on Boys in the Hood when Ricky got shot in the back. Something. I was just like, Yvonne, if somebody calls you and you're in a totally different state and your mother dies, like, what the?
You should be on the show. That's so good.
Child, I'm telling you something. When my dad died, honey, the screaming I did, again. Everybody ain't gonna do the same thing. That's just saying. You could have done a little bit better. Anyway, but you made up
method.
More than
we need method.
Yeah, so those damn macaroni and cheese balls, her and Tori. them two high, hilarious.
So funny. Really. Did you see all the people on Instagram and Twitter who were like, they recognized the brand of edibles they were eating and they're like, everyone's telling stories about time they did those edibles.
Yeah. Oh, wow. That's crazy. Well, also too, another show that I have been watching, there's two different ones. So first of all, ABC has now released this limited series called Women in Movement. Mm-hmm. And it's starting with Mamie Till, who is Emmett Till's mother. And for those that don't know who Emmett Till is, he was a young 14-year-old black boy who was from Chicago, went to Mississippi for the summer to visit his family, was accused of whistling at a white woman. The husband and the brother of the white woman basically killed him, dismembered his body, all that kind of stuff. And his mother allowed his disfigured body to be publicized to effect change in a positive way. They were both acquitted for the murder and the kidnapping of him.
Can you like, I just think about every club I've ever been in and like the sexual harassment I've had to endure. They literally said he whistled it. I'm just, it shocks me.
Well, the thing is, one thing that I didn't realize, but she said, like, the cousin said that he made a wolf whistle, but not at her, and that he did whistle, but it was not at her. She then on the stand lied and said that he grabbed her from behind her waist and all that kind of stuff.
She was in way too deep.
Exactly. And so it was just, first of all, so anyway, they were talking about basically the strength of his mother.
But also, how do you not know that your family's crazy like that?
What do you mean?
Like, you know, there's certain things you don't say around your family because it would rile them up, or like you have a crazy uncle or something who takes things too far.
Yeah, but so for her, I mean, but she knew what she was doing, and that was the problem.
No, exactly. So, yeah. Like, I understand being on the stand and be like, well, shit, I'm in too deep. Let me make it better. But, like,
yeah,
you said this thing in the first place, and you knew who your family
was. Exactly, and you knew what they were going to do. Exactly. And the thing is, too, like, they were even talking, they went back into the history or the actual town and people who shopped at this particular store, because the lady, Carolyn, her and her husband owned a grocery store, or not a grocery store, but like a little corner store or whatever. Mm-hmm. So they patronized black people in there, and they were like, hey, you can come in here and you can shop just as long as you just act right, follow the rules, and call it a day. But it's also, you know, down South Mississippi, unfortunately, in 1955. So anyway,
not a great time to be in Mississippi.
Exactly. And the fact that Emmett Till was born and raised in Chicago. So being raised very in the North,
yeah.
Like, even when I have conversations with black people who are from the North, it's so their experiences in life are very different from people born in
every
the South.
Every person I met in college, cause like I'm from Texas, mm-hmm. right? Which is the less South version of Florida.
Pretty much.
Okay, thank you. Every person I met from out of state was like, yo, this shit's racist. And I was like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, it's racist.
What are you talking about? This is just us. Because even like, if I'm trying to get someone from across the street, I'm like, hey, go get that black kid. Go get that Asian girl. Mm-hmm. Did you see that white girl? Hurt? Mm-hmm. That's just the way we all talk. Yeah. Is it racist by calling someone by their race? 100%. But
I don't think that's racist.
I'm just like, it's going to take me 20 minutes to be like, the girl with the blonde hair and the glass. I'm just like, that white bitch over there with the fucking
shirt. No, I don't say that white bitch. Because even at the hospital though, like, people are like, oh yeah, you know the nurse, so she's like, short, color, she's dark,
please.
And I'm like, black, white, or Hispanic, bitch, or Asian, like, because
and that's just how shit rolls down here. We talk literally, it is race all the time, but it's just like, it's all tinged and stuff. And yes, people grew up very differently, and you can say something that other places would be extremely maybe racist, but here it's just like, oh,
In Florida, I'm just like, are they black, white, Hispanic, exactly. or Asian? Just to, like, because that helped. But even too, like, I was watching also, so that's a limited series, it's on ABC, but also I was watching on Hulu the documentary about that as well, called Let Them See.
And is this still for Black History Month, or it just came out?
No, it just came out. So actually, what's his name, Jay-Z and Will Smith actually executively produced Let Them See. And it's really about, again, the story of Emmett Till, but it's talking about it from the mother's perspective, because they do have some interviews with her. She's, you know, she passed away, of course, but it's also talking about his cousins, the man that was literally there, his grandfather, all those interviews and stuff like that, his and other family members that were there during that particular time. But it was just, it was so sad. And I think there was an untold story really about his father as well, too. That he literally, unfortunately, died the same way and for the same reason that his dad died.
Shut up.
So his dad was in the military and was in Italy. There was a Italian lady that was, or I think it was three ladies. One of them were killed. One of the ladies were killed, and then one of the ladies were sexually assaulted. And he just so happened with a couple of his army buddies or whatever, they were off work. And so, of course, they needed somebody to blame the crime on. And so they blamed him. In the court, literally, the lady looked at him. The lawyer asked her, the person that sexually assaulted you, are they in this courtroom? And the lady said, no, it's not him. They still convicted Emmett Till's dad and sentenced him to death for the rape of a woman.
Can you imagine literally being Emmett Till?
And Emmett Till literally died for being falsely accused of grabbing this woman and whistling at her. And I'm just like, and the thing is, Emmett Till never met his dad. Like, and never knew, like, he never knew that his dad died in that way or died for that very reason. And I'm just like, y'all literally took everything from this woman. Like, you took her husband, you killed her husband, you killed her son. Like, what the fuck? But it really spoke volumes about the strength of his mother and the fact that, you know, she could have easily just said, y'all have killed my child, I'm done with the rest of this world, I'm just going away. But she was like, no, I'm doing things strategically. She had different connections and stuff like that. And she tried to use the situation to really gain national recognition for what was going on, especially in 1955. There was no internet. So everything was in the newspaper. The newspaper was your Twitter, you know, and the fact that she was like, no, everybody needs to know what happened to my son. The fact that my son was missing, he was kidnapped. And then when he, you know, when they sent his body back to back to Chicago sealed, and the sheriff in the town actually wanted to bury him before his mother even got there, because he didn't want them to see what these men, how bad it was. And the fact that she literally had a photographer come and take pictures, and there was another journalist that actually convinced her to take pictures and put it in the newspaper. And this was, nationwide, to see how they had dismembered this boy's body. And I'm like,
boy, he was this boy's 14. Body.
But see, they don't look at black boy. There's no such thing in this country, unfortunately. There's no such thing as a black boy. You're automatically a thug, a man, a monster. And I'm just like, he was 14. 14.
They have all that stuff at the Civil Rights Museum. It's awful.
But this is why.
Awful looking at those. Oh, God.
But it's necessary. And this is why I really feel like this is why critical race theory needs to be taught in schools. And it's not to be taught in schools to tell white kids, you're pieces of shit. Your DNA is pieces of shit. It's not for that. It's really to make them understand, listen, this is the very DNA of this country, and this is what has happened. So because this has happened, the way you should move and shake in this world needs to be very different. You have a certain privilege that other people do not have. So when you do X, Y, and Z, here is the ripple effect of what happens. Mm-hmm. When you go and start calling the police on different people, when you just don't understand how to just have basic conflict resolution skills, this is a problem. You don't use your privilege for bad, because it has detrimental effects on a whole group of people. You know, so
yeah. These men only did this thing because they thought they were right and it was right and they could get away with it. But they only thought that because of X, Y, and Z that happened before in this country, and because of the way things were handled in this country.
And it was proved right that they had the right to do that, because they got away with it.
How do you stop people like that ideology, those thoughts, that behavior doesn't just stop. It's been carried on for years.
But it's also embedded in your DNA, because even when something so simple as you see a white child and a black child playing, and if that white mother takes her white child away from the black child, the white child may think, well, something's got to be wrong with this black kid. Like, why can't I play with this black kid? And then you start giving them nothing but white dolls. You know what I mean? Like, so, oh, the black dolls, they're evil. They're this, or they're bad, or whatever the case may be. So it's like, if you never introduce that to your children, and you never educate your children on, as gruesome as this history is, it's the history of the country.
Yeah.
So it's just like, you know, a doctor going and telling a patient, you have diabetes. And the patient just thinks, oh, it's the sugar. I just can't eat sweets, but I can eat everything else. I can eat fried chicken. No, you have to understand the physiology of racism. And in order to combat that, you have to understand where it comes from and the very essence of it. And so the problem is, they don't want to teach children the very essence of it, because they want it to continue. It's not that, oh, we don't want to tell our children about this and this and that. Well, it's amazing you don't want to teach your children about critical race, but you had your 5 and 6 year olds literally watching black men hung on fucking trees. I just got mad. I'm gonna calm down. they're so young, and their minds are so impressionable, and they're so innocent that they can't learn about critical race theory. But you literally had your children picking off black children's body parts and fucking playing with them, talking about ring around a motherfucking Rosie.
Also, you don't teach kids how to be you don't teach them how to be racist. They're already not racist. And then you have to deconstruct all the shit you put on them.
Exactly. Exactly. It's bullshit.
Have I told you how I, am my eyes am blacker than I am? Have I told you this
story? Your what?
Dude, recently my mom bought, so when I was a baby, I had this you remember Cabbage Patch?
Oh, of course.
I had this fucking Cabbage Patch. It was like one of the first mixed Cabbage Patch dolls. Mm-hmm. Her name was Monique. I loved her because she looked like me.
Oh, right? She's a mixed Cabbage Patch?
She was a mixed Cabbage
Patch. Mixed Cabbage Patch?
She was a mixed race Cabbage Patch doll, and I loved her, and I still have her. My mom, my older cousin has a daughter who's 3. And for her birthday, my mom bought her a like trio of Cabbage Patch dolls. Mm. And there's a light one, a medium, and a dark skinned one. Yeah. And so I looked at the cat and I was like, oh, she looks like me, right? I grabbed the darkest doll. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, it's like me. I put it up to my mom was like, that's not the color of your skin. And I was like, yes, it is. It is. It's the darkest Cabbage Patch doll. I'm the darkest Cabbage Patch. Mm-hmm. Bitch, when I tell you, I put it up to my skin. It was like you and me.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh. I'm white. Like, I'm light. 50%. I know. Literally shock in my eyes. I was pissed. I'm the medium Cabbage Patch doll. I've always thought I was the darkest Cabbage Patch doll.
Yeah, because you grew up around a bunch of white people.
I'm pissed. I'm having a lot of realizations this year. Yeah. But all that to say, there are still mixed race cabbage patch dolls and dark Cabbage Patch dolls.
Awesome. That was a beautiful
really
segue.
Getting somewhere.
Not really, but also too, they brought back the similarities too between the Trayvon Martin case as well as this case, and the fact that this case happened in 1955 with Emmett Till and then Trayvon Martin in the 21st century, and how, you know, people are still getting off for the murder. And then they also brought up the fact Ahmaud Arbery as well too in his trial. And I'm just like, so when we talk about Martin Luther King, how far we literally have not come, because this shit is still happening. Like, you would think at some point this would be eradicated, but we can't even get over COVID, so we definitely can't get over
the way I feel about you not having the internet is the way I hope my kids feel about racism, like deep rooted egregious racism.
Yeah,
like the way when you're like, I couldn't go on Google and research something, and mm-hmm. I'm like, I cannot even imagine that happening.
Yeah,
I hope to God that I'm like, no, they used to lynch black people, drag them through the mm-hmm. streets for looking at white women, and they're like, I can't even imagine that happening.
Yeah, you. I mean,
that's Alyssa Fowler's dream.
That's your dream.
That's my dream.
I think you need to wake up because it ain't gonna happen. Unfortunately,
it could.
1955 and it's 2022.
Give me 10 years. I'll run for government.
Oh, God. No, definitely not. Also, I watched, because we're not going to have a recap corner today. I watched another movie, really good movie. I think you would like this. It's called The God Committee. What's his name? Kelsey Grammer is in it. Julia Stiles.
Frasier.
Frasier's in it.
And
he looks really weird. He needs a hip replacement.
What is her name in Save the Last Dance? I don't know. But she's always like. What the hell is her name?
I don't know.
Sarah. And then Kerry Washington's in it.
Yeah, I don't know her name.
Nikki.
Yeah, I keep saying Nikki, but that's not her name. That's not a
Camille.
Is it Camille?
I think it's Camille. Oh man, I love Save the Last Dance.
Anyway, but so The God Committee is a movie that's on Netflix. Also, the Mamie Till, the Let Them See is on Hulu or ABC, but also too, the Women in Movement is also on ABC. That's been coming out. And they've coming out with different parts and different whatever episodes. Anywho, so The God Committee is about a heart transplant hospital, right? And Kelsey Grammer plays the heart transplant surgeon. Julia Stiles is also a heart transplant surgeon as well. She's a cardiologist. They have like a nurse who actually reminds me of Bailey, who works at the hospital. And then there's like the chair of the committee, and then there's a psychologist and everything. But it really takes you down the road of how people are selected and the different things that come into play with regard to choosing people for transplant. So for those that don't know, I actually sat on the committee or the board for the hospital that Fowler works at, that I used to work at, for heart transplant workups. And I've had to be in these rooms and in these meetings where I'm telling physicians, like, these are life or death situations, but I'm just like, hey, from a rehab standpoint, this is a shitty candidate. But this is a horrible candidate, because they are already knocked down. They're super deconditioned. Mm-hmm. And if you give them a heart transplant, they're not going to bounce back, and they're not going to recover, based off evidence that we have, different tests and measures and all that kind
of
stuff.
Speaking of transplants, do you know what transplant couple duo who got transplants at the same time and wasted both of their fucking hearts is back in the hospital at the same time?
A duo, a husband and wife?
No, a duo as in they got transplants at the same time, stroked at the same time, wasted their fucking hearts at the same time.
You're going to have to tell me that off
air. Sat in the hospital forever. Yep. Yep.
Did she die?
No, she didn't. She won't.
She's never going to fucking die. Sweet Lamb of God. Not that I'm trying to kill anybody. I'm not. It's just sweet Lamb of God. And I'm trying to think of the other one. You'll tell me off air.
When he was frustrated. Like, I'm just Thriller. Remember when I did? Woohoo! Oh.
The only reason why we can't tell these people, obviously, because it's a HIPAA violation. But yes, I thought he was doing good.
He did. He came back for COVID.
Shit,
I know
he's doing too good. Anyway, so the God Committee is a really good show. A really
I'm gonna
good
have
movie.
To watch it. That's interesting.
But yeah, it's about these three candidates.
Is it realistic?
It is.
Okay.
It's about these three candidates where one is a white older lady with no family support. The other one is a black man, but he's morbidly obese, but he's working. He has a great support system, has good insurance. And then the third candidate, who's all trying to get this heart, is the son of one of the a donor of the hospital. And so, of course, there's a monetary part that comes into play.
But they all want the same heart.
They all need it because they're all in dire need of the same heart.
The other day I was
and
at
they're
work,
all three a match.
And I was talking to someone and I said, oh, did he just get a VAD? And they said no, because he was walking around the hospital. Mm-hmm. They said no, he got it in 2019, but I think they're gonna go ahead and do the RVAD tomorrow, then boost him up on the list. And I was like, woo.
And but the thing is too, I think people don't realize all of the implications that happen when a transplant occurs. Like, there is a whole committee of
it's
people.
Like a whole it's a whole different it's like
it's an auction block. I will tell you this.
It's an auction block, but like the way you play how to get a heart. Like,
yes.
If you don't, you're not dying right now, but you are dying right now. But if we do this and put this device in and put you on this kind of life support, you're bumped up on the list for this and that. Like, it's really fucked. We have to literally make you sicker to get you your heart.
And if you have a device, and because medically the device helps, so it's not like it's morally wrong to give you a device to help, but you literally have to look at these people and say, well, first of all, UNOS has an age limit. So if you're 70, forget about it. Not unless you know, there are some other extenuating circumstances, you're not going to get a heart transplant. And then two, they come into play. Well, do you have support? Do you even have insurance? Can you even cover this?
Bro, we've had perfect candidates who are like, I have no family here.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, you're not getting a fucking heart.
You're not getting a heart.
You better find some and bring them here.
This is a lifelong situation that you're going to be dealing with for the rest of your life. And if you do not have a solid support system, they cannot justify giving you this heart because you may end up going into rejection, especially if you're non-compliant. Then two, if you're obese, that brings another mortality risk into the equation. And then also too, if you if you've had different histories, different comorbidities and
drug use
auto, and that was one of the biggest things, is that the kid who had the rich father, he had a history of cocaine use, and so that automatically disqualified him. But there was another factor I'm not going to get away, that the father offers the hospital that makes them take that into consideration. And so there's a couple twists and turns that are in the movie, but it was very
crazy.
The whole time I was watching it, I was like, yep, this shit is real. That shit happens every single day.
You're just sitting there like, how you'll have these horrible, what you think are horrible candidates come in, like, I cannot believe they're considered, and that person gets a heart, and you're like, they're unmotivated.
Yep.
They have all this history, and it's just random things that happen that work
and
out.
Then they
or
up,
you have a perfect candidate, and it's just one little thing. Like, they had a massive heart attack 6 hours away from here. They fucking airlifted them up to this hospital. Mm-hmm. Unless you can get the resources to move your entire family here, we can't give you this heart.
I remember I had this one patient, and he was actually a double amputee, right? And so
a lot of amputations.
Yes, he was a double. He was a bilateral bilateral below the knee amputee, and he had heart issue because he was given the wrong medicine in the valley and all that kind of stuff, blah blah blah. So he came to the hospital for a workup for a heart transplant, and they were like, okay, well, we can't give you the heart transplant just yet, but you do qualify for a VAD, right? This man was in his 40s, great family support, still working. And of course, their biggest concern was, you know, his rehab ability. And so of course they, you know, I'm there on the committee, and I'm like, this man is motivated. Like, if you can give him some diuretics real quick, just so I can put his prosthetics on and he can fit them, because of course your lower limbs swell. So I'm like, hey, just hit him with some laces real quick. Let me massage and put these, know, wraps on his legs to put his shrinkers on, so at least he can fit in his
get moving, baby.
His what you call it? His prosthetics. So this man, he's walking circles around this ICU. Right, everything's going great, and of course, you know, when we get in the meeting and they look at his numbers and everything, and they're just like, okay, Monica, well, it really rests on you. Like, do you think he's a great candidate? I'm like, yes, he is rehabable. Like, he can do it. Like, he can absolutely do it. They take this man to surgery. I think it was like 2 days later. Give him an LVAD. Throws a clot.
No!
Brain dead. Just like that.
Ugh, can't rehab that.
No. And I, like, and when it happened, the surgeon was so, like, you could tell his soul was hurt. And that's what, even in the movie.
And that's always the risk.
Yeah. And because you get attached to these people. So even people say, oh, it's all about the money. And now it's all about this. Mm-mm. And a lot of these surgeons, they get emotionally, like, the whole, like,
committee. It's a God complex.
Yeah, but the thing is, you get attached to these people as well, too. And then you get attached to their families and their story. And so you do kind of play God, where you want to give them this, even though, mm-hmm, you know, well, they may not be the best candidate. He was an amazing candidate. But the fact that this clot literally moved and went straight to his brain, and he was brain dead. And it was just, that was not supposed to happen to that man. So of course, everybody was so distraught, like, God damn, like, nobody saw that coming.
No,
like,
one. And then you have these people who are old and really shouldn't get the heart, but they do. Yep. And then they piss it away. Don't want to do rehab. Don't want to get up, non-compliant with their meds. And they're still alive.
Yeah.
And back at the hospital every 3 weeks.
And people, unfortunately, who have psych issues. Like, if you have a psych history, it makes you a questionable candidate because of your compliance. And again, you know, these organs are not coming a dime a dozen. Mm-mm. On the black market, yes, but not, you know, and legally. So they have to do what they can to protect the accreditation. And in this movie, their accreditation was in jeopardy as well, too, because they had had 9 deaths in the last year. Exactly. So
it's just, okay, it's, you know, hard, like, on this side, because you know, it's like getting a heart transplant is fucking traumatic.
Oh yeah,
they are absolutely literally taking one of your most vital organs, mm-hmm, out of you and putting in a new one, right? Yeah. And we get that, but you, on this end of it, mm-hmm, you have to be like, I know a lot of time we're like, you're pissing away your heart. Someone literally died for you to have the chance to live. And I know there's a lot of psych shit that goes on, and it's, mm-hmm, a very, like, invasive surgery. But on this side, it's hard to be like, it's just like, get your fucking ass up. Yeah. Get up.
And then on their side, they also have survivor's remorse, because even though they are thankful for that person,
somebody had to die.
Exactly. And so they have survivor's remorse, like, well, I don't deserve this. And then they, you know, depression sets in so fast, mm-hmm, with these transplants. And
your body has nothing already.
Yeah.
And on top of that, you got psych shit.
But then there are some patients who come in and they have no psych issues whatsoever, like mine and Audrey's guy, mm-hmm, who we had been working with from the very beginning.
He's
amazing. And I'm just like, this man, he was self-motivated, great support system, but he really didn't even need his support system, because he was already self-motivated. He was, mm-hmm, no, I want to live. I don't care how hard it's going to be. I don't care how difficult it's going to be. Whatever modifications I have to do, I'm going to do it. And then, like you said, you have these other people who are just, you know, they get this heart and then all this stuff happens, and you're trying your best to rehab them and to make them understand, and you'll try to be as harsh as you can, like, somebody died, do you want to die? And they're just, oh, just kill me. You're just like, God damn it, you weren't supposed to say
wait,
that.
Now
we got to put you on suicide watch. Like, God damn it, just tell them to take the heart out of me. That's not the way it fucking works,
dude. I had a patient the other day. I came in and she has early dementia. Mm-hmm. She had all these spoons and eggs. You know, they always have eggs on their chest and shit. So I'm like, okay, let's get the eggs off you.
Yeah.
I said, look, are you done with your spoon and your fork? Can I take them? She goes, yeah. Are you taking them so I won't kill myself? I was like, please don't.
Now I have to
fucking write a fucking report. If you're at the hospital, don't joke about suicide.
No.
Or drug use.
Don't even say the word kill.
Don't. Because then I have to write a report and I don't want to.
Seriously.
Please.
We are mandated reporters.
God. It's never a funny joke.
It's never a funny joke at all.
I cannot tell you how many times I've had to tell patients, I know you're joking, but you can't do that.
Why don't you just off me already? Oh, fucking hell.
Oh, just kill me. I'd rather die.
Weren't you supposed to discharge tomorrow? Now your ass is not discharging because I have to report this shit.
Psych eval.
Exactly.
Anyway.
You're on a 24-hour hold. But anywho. So yeah, the God Committee on Netflix is a really great show.
God Committee. I love Kelsey Grammer.
He needs a hip replacement. First of all, he's knock-kneaded as hell, right? Which I'm knock-kneaded. That's okay. But the way he walks, it's like he has no, his hips don't move. Like
his hips don't lie.
He don't have, it's like he has no plantar, he has no dorsiflexion. He has no knee flexion really. And his, he like circumducts. It's really weird.
He's just,
yeah, he's just all like, he's got, he's hips. Like a penguin. And it's just like, it's like he did leg day all day. And it's just like,
PT.
Yeah,
defer to PT.
He definitely needs a hip replacement. But anyway, neither here nor there. It was a really good show. Or a really good movie.
Okay, I'll watch. Anyway, but you have to watch Yellowstone.
Oh, yeah. I'm definitely going to start. I'm off for Martin Luther King. So, I mean, when this podcast comes out, Martin Luther King would have already been celebrated. But yeah, why, you can celebrate him all week.
What if I just started marching in the halls, playing his speech on like a speaker?
I think you'll end up in HR.
Probably.
But don't worry. It's okay. I used to end up in HR all the time. Mm-hmm. Have it Martin Luther King. Anyway, so yeah, anything else we need to discuss before we get out of here?
No, I'm happy that we're back.
Yes,
I know this episode was
much longer than it.
Yeah, we're just excited to talk to you again.
Yeah,
We're ready for a new year, baby. I'm here. I think I'm at the tail end of my seasonal depression.
Oh, that's like a good thing.
Yeah, like I don't have the motivation to like do anything productive or go to the gym or like cook, but I'm not like wallowing in self-pity. So we're here and we're making
baby steps.
Yeah, baby steps.
Well, my body is sore right now, as you can clearly see in the video, because I've been going to the gym faithfully and everything is sore because I had leg day and I was doing dead
squats.
No, deadlifts. Dead and lifts. Those things are, oh God, my hamstrings are so fucking sore right now. But anyway, yes, I'm trying to get right, get fit, get healthy, all that good kind of stuff. So yeah, healing my gut. Crossing off my goals.
There you go.
All right. Well, y'all have an amazing week this week. Happy birthday, Martin Luther King. Thank you so much for having an amazing dream. Thank you for doing all that you did for African Americans. We're going to keep trying to accomplish this dream. I don't think we're ever going to get there, unfortunately, but we're going to try our best. Anywho, anything else, ma'am?
Nope, that's it.
All right. Well, y'all remember to spread love.
Spread light.
And don't forget to laugh your face off.
Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of The Face Off with Fleming and Fowler. Don't forget to follow us on all our social media platforms, including Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube at The Face Off Pod. Be sure to tune in to The Face Off with Fleming and Fowler every Tuesday when new episodes are released.